We all do certain things as members of this community. Something that Gary Petty said on Night to be Observed. Let me get this running so I don't use up too much of Mark's time. Gary mentioned at the Night to be Observed that we are a community and we're brought together. Probably most of us would not know each other other than the fact that we have the same faith. And we're brought together as a community as we observe God's Holy Day plan. Here we are on the middle, well, almost at the end of the Days of Unleavened Bread. We have put out the leavening, hopefully. Hopefully we haven't found too much of the leavening after the beginning of the feast. It can be a challenge during the Days of Unleavened Bread, especially if you want to do anything out in this world. We made the decision last night, since my brother's here, we thought, well, let's take Mom out. She wanted to go Italian. So we went to the Olive Garden. Big mistake. If you know anything about the Olive Garden, it's difficult to find things on their menu that doesn't have some kind of breading, or, of course, they have the breadsticks that they want to bring to the table, and the salad, if you get the salad, has croutons in it. So it can be very difficult. We decided that it was a mistake, but we suffered through it. Joe ate 2 servings of fettuccine Alfredo because my mom wasn't that hungry. Good thing he didn't eat lunch. But anyway, it can be challenging, can it, to do things to kind of avoid the leavening that's out there, because we're instructed to do that. Let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. And God was doing something very similar with his people at this point. He's establishing his holy days with them. He's establishing his calendar with them. And he's telling them, I'm going to make you a nation separate from the other nations. And if we just read in the very first part of Exodus 12, Exodus 12:1, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So he's setting their calendar now. He says, this is going to make you separate. This is going to make you a community of my people. And then if we drop down to verse 14, he's giving them something to remember. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Speaking of the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. And then it talks about the holy convocations, the first day and the seventh day. And then in verse 17, you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. And then he reiterates again, on the 14th day of the month at the evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. So they're instructed to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And they're instructed to not have leavening in their houses and their lives during that time. But many in the world today around us, and I think this was also mentioned before, that if they ask you, well, you know, why are you taking this day? Why are you taking Tuesday off? And why are you taking Monday off? And you tell them, I'm keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And their reply is, first of all, what is that? Because most of them probably have never heard of it. If they have heard of it, they probably say, isn't that a Jewish thing? Why are you keeping Jewish holidays? And so most of them aren't familiar with God's holy day plan, and they're not familiar with Leviticus 23, in verse 1 and 2. Let's go read that, just as a reminder for us. Leviticus 23, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feast." Today is one of those feasts. It's actually the first one that's listed after these verses. But God takes ownership of these days. He's the one that owns these days, not the Jewish people. And it really just, it irritates me when I hear people talk about this Jewish thing, and they're referring to an Israel thing. You know, they're talking about the nation of Israel. They have no distinction in their heads that there were 12 tribes of Israel, and one of them was called Judah. It just so happens that that's the one that everybody knows about. So we've been instructed to remember this time, and we're given this physical thing to do, this physical action, to take out leaven, to change our diets for a week, to eat unleavened bread. Most of us probably don't do that. Some of us might. Some of us may enjoy eating, I think there's these rye crackers. I know a friend of mine really likes to eat. And they happen to be unleavened, but I think they eat them all year round. So some people do, but most of us probably would rather have a nice thick piece of bread in a sandwich or toast or a roll or a donut, which we don't have any of them today. Good thing everybody remembered. We didn't have to have the patrol at the front door saying, "Hey, open your bag. We got to see if there's anything. Did you get any donuts today?" And we remembered. So we're instructed to do these things to remember. Just like in our calendar in this country, we have certain days. We have Memorial Day. We have Veterans Day. We have Mother's Day, Father's Day. Now, some of these a lot of people with a skeptical would say, "Oh, that they just made those days up to make money." So everybody would buy cards for everybody, right? Well, it's a time for remembrance. And I would venture to guess that most of the people that decided to establish these days probably had better intentions in mind than what we have maybe in the world today. And they were actually intending to honor our veterans, that they were actually intending to remember those who died, intending to remember mothers and fathers in this country, to really highlight the importance of family. So we have all these times that we remember. We've put out the leaven. God instructed, let's go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 3. Another case where he's talking to them about this time of year. But he brings out something to them in this verse that I've been discussing. Deuteronomy 16, verse 3, it says, "You shall eat no leavened bread with it." And then it goes on to say, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. No leaven shall be seen among you, so that you may remember. And if we go back to Exodus 13, you don't have to turn back, but in the next chapter after chapter 12, in chapter 13, they're instructed to tell their children. They're instructed to say to their children, "We are doing these things because God gave us this instruction, because God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." So this was something for them to remember. What's our application of this today? We do see in the New Testament that God's church observed these holy days. We keep these physical things, as I mentioned. as an annual reminder to us about sin. We know the Bible has many verses that compare leaven to sin. And this practice that we do of putting out leaven is a reminder to us every year of the battle we face, of the battle we are in, to put out sin, to fight every single day. So we put it out. But don't we still like leaven? Aren't donuts still good on Wednesday? How many of you will be going to have a hamburger or some donuts or a cookie maybe? Leaven is still good, isn't it? But during this time, it's being compared to sin. A fitting type, isn't it? Because sin is not something that's necessarily unpleasant. We're told in Hebrews 11 about Moses refusing the passing pleasures of sin. So sin was described as something good, as something enjoyable. It looks good. It feels good at first until the effects of it begin to come into play. Our weakness focuses on those pleasures. It focuses on the now and ignores the future, doesn't it? It ignores the future consequence. Let me have it now. Just as Israel had the same struggle, we struggle. They struggled because they didn't realize that God, I'm sorry, I've got something. I keep itching at something. It's not a, I don't think it's a bug, but it's just something there. But Israel struggled, didn't they? They were always constantly talking about, well, we used to have all this stuff in Egypt. We used to sit down and we had all these vegetables and garlic and fish, and they forgot about the toxic part of it. They forgot about the sin. And they only looked at the good of what they saw, the positive. So they had to learn. God forced them to wander 40 years in the wilderness because they wanted to go back. They wanted that sin back. They wanted that lifestyle back. We all have to battle that in our lives. We cannot go back. It is time for us to stand and fight. To stand and fight this world, fight the influence, and embrace the community that we have here and embrace the difference in our lives that we have. So we put in unleavened bread during this time. Both literally, we're eating unleavened bread, and spiritually, we're told to be unleavened. We look to that perfect offering that Christ made for us. And we learn to see sin as God saw it, sees it every day. As the horrible evil, as the horrible damage that it brings. And we struggle, each one of us, to cut off those thoughts, those wrong thoughts, those wrong actions that could lead us back to sin, that could lead us back to Egypt. Let's look at a few scriptures that compare leavening to sin. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 6, and Paul is instructing them to put out a sinner in their midst, to become unleavened in the church. Verse 6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, Put away the sin, is what he's telling him. Put away the people that are being an example of sin in your midst, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with the leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Gospels, in Matthew 16, we have an example of a story where Christ had multiplied bread and fish for a large crowd of people. And he's with the disciples, and they've gone to another place. And they had forgotten to take, they had one loaf of bread, it says. That's all they had. I don't know what the size of the loaves were back then, but maybe a loaf was only for one or two people, maybe. I don't know. And Jesus says to them in Matthew 16:6, if you want to write this down, I'll read it to you. He says, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they thought it was because they hadn't taken any bread that he said this. And he had to remind them of the miracle that he did and how many loaves of bread, how many baskets of bread they picked up. And he says in verse 11 in Matthew 16, "How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread?" He wasn't talking about literal bread, but of the beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So we see here leaven being compared to false teaching, false doctrine. If you want to write down a parallel scripture, write down Luke 12, verse 1. In that verse, it describes hypocrisy. It says hypocrisy is the leaven of the Pharisees. So we're reminded each year at this time, during these spring holy days, about sin. And leavening is used. Something, like I said, is outside of this 7-day period, is something that is very good. Something that we all probably enjoy, other than my wife. I don't know if you all know this, but my wife eats only meat. So she would love to eat leaven, though, if her stomach would allow it. It's not that she hates cake or hates cookies. Her body inside doesn't like what they do when they get in there. So we are all in this period of time where we're looking at this, we're looking at the comparison of leaven and sin. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 and read about Paul's struggle. Paul struggled with this. And Paul is a very encouraging person for us to look at when we're struggling. Paul was raised as a Pharisee. He describes himself in another letter as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Very, very strict. Very what we would call obedient. But he recognized after being converted that that obedience was only surface. That there was something else inside of him that was sin. Romans 7, verse 18. And he writes this. This is after, I think, 10 or 15 years of serving as the emissary to the Gentiles. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." So what was his answer to this conundrum, to this conflict that he saw? Drop down to verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are reminded of the pervasiveness of leavening, and we're told that the only way to defeat that leavening, that sin, is through Jesus Christ. The scriptures even present, and I'll just kind of summarize this section. The scriptures portray the church being offered to God in a special offering that was done on the Feast of Pentecost, which we're going to begin counting toward, I believe, tomorrow, right? Tomorrow we'll be beginning the count 50. And on that Feast of Pentecost, they brought two leavened loaves of bread, and they presented them to God, but they did not offer them on the altar because leavening was not allowed. A fitting type, because sin was not allowed to be offered on the altar. But sin in these loaves portray the church of God with leaven. All of us with leaven. None of us are sinless. None of us are perfect. But we're able to be presented to God. How? Through Jesus Christ. And if you read the offering, if you want to go, just write this down in your notes. Leviticus 23, 15 through 20. The offering they brought was those leavened loaves, but they brought it with animal sacrifices. They brought it with a burnt offering and a sin offering, depicting Christ through Him, allowing those loaves to be presented to God. It was only through Christ that those loaves came into the presence of God. No amount of oil, no amount of olive oil could be smeared over those loaves of bread to make them worthy to be brought in. It was only through Jesus Christ. So no amount of Holy Spirit in us makes us worthy. Only thing that makes us worthy is that sacrifice, that blood, and that body. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I'll drop down to chapter 2, verse 1 now. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Yet, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for all, for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Christ is the one that wipes away our sins. Christ is the one that gives us the strength to fight this battle. We know the Bible doesn't hold back in telling us about very famous people that served God throughout the scriptures that struggled with sin. The Bible doesn't hold back. It tells us both sides. We have the stories of David and the things that he did wrong. We know what Paul did. Paul went to his grave understanding that he had damaged the church, that initially he had caused much damage to the church, that he had caused many to be thrown in prison and perhaps some killed. Peter, we know that Peter denied Jesus the night he was betrayed. And then John himself writes about this struggle against sin. But we all need to look at ourselves. The Bible shows us these examples so that we can maybe learn from them in our own lives and not go those same routes, not go that same, make those same mistakes. So as we throw out the sin, as we get rid of this sin that's so much part of our lives, we must put something in its place. We must eat unleavened bread. We must eat Jesus Christ. As Christ told them in John, and it's interesting, he gave these words during the time, during this time of year. The introduction to these verses talks about that the Passover was near. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 48. John 6, 48. I am the bread of life. Christ speaking here. I am the bread of life. Christ is that bread. Christ is the type fulfilled by the unleavened bread that we are eating right now. So how can you eat more? I don't know how you can eat enough. But we can learn all that we can learn about Jesus Christ. I think that's a starting point. Read the Gospels, reread them, reread them. Every time I read them, there's something else that jumps out at me. There's something new that I realize. And I look at them and I think to myself, there's so much in these four letters, these four books. And so many people, they downplay them. Oh, that's just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody. I mean, anybody that gets one of those little Bibles, right? It's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the Psalms, right? And I think maybe Proverbs. So they don't look at them as important. For beginning or continuing verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. You're referring back to the story of Israel. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. So if we eat this bread, if we really, really eat this bread and put it inside of us, we will be given eternal life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Christ referring forward to what he would say at the Passover ceremony. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. While we fight this battle, while we put out sin and put in Christ, put in unleavened bread, let's remember that Christ won this battle. Christ has won the fight for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We see Christ here in the office of high priest, serving in the temple of God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we, you and me, may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We see Christ here as the priest. He brings us into fellowship with God the Father, brings us to the throne of grace. By the blood and body he personally gave for all of man. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Let's go forward with these words. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us fight the battle every single day that we face in the world around us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Father in heaven, through the physical reminders he gives us during these holy days, works with us so we can apply the spiritual reminders and the spiritual lessons we are being taught by observing these days. Our need for this Christ, our need for Jesus Christ's sacrifice is ever before us as we consider the spiritual significance of these days.